Here in Luke chapter 22, in our consideration of the kingdom, we want to take a look at a passage here as our text, and we'll come back to this and wrap things up with this passage. We want to look at one verse for right now as the theme of this message. And in Luke chapter 22, verse number 24, the scripture says, "And there was also a strife among them," speaking of the disciples, the apostles, "a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." There's here amongst the disciples, the apostles, they've got something going on amongst them. And they won't say, "Well, I'm going to be greater because of this. Well, I'm going to be greater because of this." So, no, not you. I saw this, or I was in on this. They've got strife among them. It's accounted a strife among them because they're fussing and they're arguing about who's going to be the greatest. In our consideration of the kingdom, we want to take a look at this morning, with the Lord's help and blessing, how to be great. How to be great in the kingdom, okay? Let's pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us now, that we might look into your word, and Lord, that we might see those things that you have for us. Father, remove every distraction and every hindrance, and Lord, just help us focus upon you and your word and what it says. Lord, we pray for those that are here and not saved. Lord, that they might see Christ precious to the salvation of their own souls. Lord, visit them, touch them, open their eyes that they might see, open their ears that they might hear. And Lord, that they might receive the Lord Jesus Christ and believe and trust in him, Lord, for the salvation of their souls. Lord, work amongst us as you only can. Help we that are your children. Help us, Father, from your word this morning, that we would understand how to be great in your kingdom, Lord. Help us to see that. And Lord, help us that we might draw that into us and that we might be pursuing of it, Father. Help us in that, we pray. We ask it all in the Lord Jesus Christ's name for his sake. Amen. Here, these apostles, they're there with the Lord, and they're fussing about who's going to be the greatest. And then this is right at the end of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they're right there very near the time of when the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be crucified. Did I just hear a thump? Okay, good deal. Everybody okay? Brother Doug went out hastily, and that got my attention, and so I'm sensitive to what's going on. I pray hopefully nothing's wrong. If he doesn't come back in a little bit, some of you brethren go out there and check it out. Anyway, let's try to put all that aside. They're fussing amongst one another, and they're not exempt to it. And if they're doing it right there with the Lord, very near the Lord's crucifixion and the Lord's teaching of them, that we're subject to it too. The way it is in this world is we all desire greatness, don't we? Now we shy and backward type. We maybe wouldn't want all the fan and the fanfare and the accolades and all that of being great. But I think all of us would certainly enjoy the benefits and the allowances and the things that greatness would provide, wouldn't it? Because when we're talking about being great, we're talking about being great in every way. That's the context of this. So we might not want the fanfare of the world, okay? But we would enjoy the things that come along with being great, okay? And the things that I'm talking about, namely, is ability and wealth and such as that. So these fellows are talking about being great. Who's going to be great in the kingdom? And we want to take a look what the Lord says, okay? And we'll come back to this passage. But turn over here to Matthew chapter 5 and in the Sermon on the Mount, here at the Beatitudes. Let's consider what the Scripture says here. In Matthew chapter 5, verse number 1, "And seeing the multitudes, he went," that is, Jesus, "went up into the mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." We've looked at that. "Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted." Mourn over their sin. This is a progression of the working of the Lord and the salvation of the soul, I believe. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness," right? "For they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. The kindness of the Lord unto us, and we should be kind and merciful to others. Blessed are the pure in heart, those that have been made clean by the Lord, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God." Those that seek, we have peace, we seek the peace of others between them and the Lord, being a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation through Him. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. But the blessed they are that we endure and we suffer those things that come our way for the sake of the Lord. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed when we're accused wrongfully. May the Lord help us it not be that we be accused correctly, okay? But that if it is for what we stand in the Lord and His Word and what we try to pursue and practice and His gospel and salvation that we preach in Him, and the world says evil about it, we're blessed. We've got a blessing indeed of the Lord. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, to make a difference. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. We are to make a difference, we that are saved, in this world. Ye are the light of this world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. We are to let our light shine. The Lord has illuminated us and He's made us alive, and we're to let that shine. We that have been blessed to understand about the Lord's church, we have our light and are to have our light shine in this church here, in Olmsted Baptist Church. Neither do men light a candle, here's a principle, and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. I believe speaking of the church, and just practical understanding, you hold the light up high. You don't light a candle and put it down low. You don't turn on a light and put it down on the floor if you want to light up what you're doing. You don't light a light and put something over top of it, right? Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. In parallel to what it says in John 3, verse 17, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Verse 19, listen. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. You hear that? Take the commandments of the Lord, disobey it, and teach others to disobey it. The Lord says, will be least in the kingdom of heaven. Grab a hold of that. Grab a hold of what it says. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, one of the lesser ones, one of the ones that are esteemed to be lesser, not as important, even the least commandments, and shall teach men also to break them. Okay, how is it that we teach? We teach by our lives. He shall call the least in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to this. But whosoever shall do and teach them, do those commandments, obey the Lord because of their love for Him, because of His love for them. Whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Listen to the Lord. Receive the word of the Lord. And do the word of the Lord, and by life and by witness, teach others also. The Lord says, will be great. Will be great. Great in the kingdom of heaven. In Matthew chapter 11, let's take a look over here. Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. Verse number 1, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding His 12 disciples, He departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, verse number 2 of Matthew 11, he sent two of His disciples. So John's in prison, he sends two out there, right? He said unto them, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? John wants confirmation that Jesus is Christ. He is the Messiah. Maybe things are going the way that he didn't expect. He has already testified and told that the Lord must increase and He must decrease. And He's taken a stand over what Herod has done in his personal life, in his marriage, and taken his brother Philip's wife. He's made a stand of that, and that's got him put in prison. He sends these disciples, said, are you the one? Jesus answered and said unto them, verse 4, go and show John again these things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. The lepers are cleansed. The deaf hear and the dead are raised up. The poor have the gospel preached to them. The miracles that the Lord did and the ministry of the Lord was, it was prolific in the miracles that he did. He did more miracles than any other prophet ever had done. And he did that which was impossible for men to do. And he did it readily, didn't he? And he says the poor, he says even, I think that he puts these in order of importance. He said even the poor have the gospel preached to them. Verse number 6, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Indeed, don't be offended in Christ, but receive him. Receive him on his terms and his way. Verse 7, and as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitude concerning John the Baptist, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. That's not the way John came. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. This is a prophecy that has been spoken, and the Lord saying, John is the fulfillment of it. Verse 11, verily I say unto thee, listen, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. He is accounted as great in the Lord's sight. That's what he says. He is the fulfilling of the prophecy about that one that would be sent ahead of the Messiah. What's it go on to say in that verse? There's not been a greater prophet than John the Baptist, notwithstanding. Listen to this. He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. You know, the Lord's economy is different, isn't it? The Lord's economy is different. He that is least is greater than John the Baptist. How can that be? How can that be? Well, we'll see. We'll see as we go along here. And let's go ahead and take a look at this. And from the days of John the Baptist, this is after the Lord has said what he has said there about being great and being the least being in the kingdom of heaven being greater than John the Baptist. It comes right here in verse 12, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I want you to turn over, hold your finger here, and turn over to Luke 16 real quick. And take it. This is a parallel passage of this same account. In Luke 16:16, the scripture says here that the Lord says, he says, the law and the prophets were until John. Luke 16:16. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, so the law and the prophets are until John. Since that time, since John, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. What is it that the Lord is saying in that? What is it that he's saying that the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent take it by force? Where he says there in Luke 16 that since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Well, what's he talking about there? I believe part of what that is that men on this earth and at that time, the fighting against the Lord Jesus Christ, the rejection of the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, the religious leadership of the day, and those that mocked and didn't believe, and just the operation of the world is such that men are trying to get a hold of their piece of this earth and hang on to it. You that own property, you have a deed or a title for that which you seek to own, right? But when it gets down to it, do you own it? The ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel, the message that we've taken a look at that was preached as part of the kingdom. We've taken a look at other aspects of the kingdom in that we understand that the kingdom of the Lord is real and it is true and it will stand one day. And it will be delivered and given unto those to whom the Lord will give it. But mankind and depravity and Satan and the way of the world have fights against it continually, doesn't it? They fought against the Lord. They fought against His people. They fought against John the Baptist. And they're trying to grab a hold of pieces and parts of the kingdom as best they can. But will they hang on to it? No, they won't. They are taking it by force. trying to take, Satan is working to take the kingdom of God by force. Will he succeed? No, he will not. And he says this, that to be great in the kingdom, you don't grapple and wrestle and scratch and squall and holler to bring it to yourself, because it just doesn't work that way, and you don't get a part or a piece or an inheritance in the kingdom by what we do and in this life in grabbing a hold of the earth. You understand what I'm saying? You've got a title and you've got a deed, but one day you're going to die. Yeah, it'll go to your children, but they're going to die one day too. You see what I'm saying? But the kingdom is the Lord's forever, and whoever he gives it to. It's found in something else than trying. You know, blessed are the meek that we read over there, for they shall inherit the earth. Hear that? The earth. Now, that's talking about this dirt ball and the earth, the new earth that is to come. But conquerors and those that have dominion, they're not meek, are they? No, but they seek and they claw and they conquer and they war and they battle to occupy it. But will they keep it? Nebuchadnezzar didn't, did he? Alexander the Great didn't, did he? He didn't do so, did he? And he made a great run in a short amount of time, but his life was snuffed out at an early age. He had more conquering ahead of him that he would do. I don't reckon any man has conquered any faster than he has, according to history, if I understand that right. But he didn't hang on to it, did he? Because that's not the way that you are great in the kingdom of God. In Matthew chapter 18, take a look over here. Matthew chapter 18. How to be great in the kingdom of God. Well, do and teach the commandments of the Lord is a way to be great, right? There is an opportunity, a possibility of one that is least in the kingdom would be even greater than John the Baptist. That's kind of hard for my mind to reconcile, but that's what the Lord said. And in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 1, we read, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, Verily I say unto you, except you be converted, turn, reverse, turn about, have a different way of thinking, a different way of pursuing, a holy, righteous, godly way of understanding what's really going on, salvation by the Lord, and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child," key word there is humble, "the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Want to be great in the kingdom of heaven? We need to humble ourselves as children before the Lord. Yeah. I tell you what, as men and women, that's hard to do, isn't it? In this old flesh, in the way that we think. I'm not going to have anything if I don't go ahead and get it. Isn't that our thinking? I tell you what, we need to be looking for that eternal treasure. Amen? That's what we need to be. That's what the Lord is speaking to here. To humble ourselves as a little child. A little child has no power. A little child has a little ability, right? In their lack of maturity, in their immaturity. And a little child will trust and believe what they are told. And I tell you what, before the Lord, that's the way that we need to be. Amen. As humble, little children before Him. You that are here and not saved, that's what you need, to humble yourself before God. What He says is true about you and about your need. It goes on to say, He says, in verse 4, "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea." Those that would abuse and molest and do ill to little children, the Lord Jesus Christ with his own mouth says they ought to be cast with a rope around the neck and a great stone into the sea. That's what he says. Because it's wickedness. It's sin. And he goes on, woe unto the world because of offenses. Verse 7, for it must needs be that offenses come. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. May the Lord help us that we not be there in that offending place. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off. Here he talks about the seriousness and how much we need to avoid sin and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed than to having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. If thine eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes be cast into hell fire. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We need to be careful how we treat the humble, huh? We need to be humble ourselves as a little child. But we need to be careful about how we treat others that are pursuing and seeking to do so themselves, huh? Their angels behold the face of God. Amen? For the Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. Here the Lord says, if we will humble ourselves, whosoever shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So we see the Lord there, and he tells us some things about how to be great in the kingdom. Well, I want to ask you a question. Who is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Who is it that's great? Now, well, we've got some instruction about it, but how about can we find an example about who's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Someone that we could take and we could look to them to see, well, okay, there is where I need to aim. That's how I need to take this instruction and practically apply it, and so that I might pursue to be great in the kingdom of heaven too. Who is there? Well, let's take a look and see what the Scripture says. In Philippians chapter 2, let's take a look. In Philippians chapter 2, the Scripture says here in verse number 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, look how elevated he is. Look how far he had to go to humble himself. Right? We'll see that here. He says here, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found fashioned as a man, he humbled himself, so much so that he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He's the Son of God. And he humbled himself to be abused and die that death, to him it was not, well, I was thinking of a word and it's not the right word to use. But being God, the Son of God, humbled himself to die a lonely, shameful death. Being made subject to his creation in that. Wicked hands took him and crucified him that day. And yet my sin crucified him that day. Look how far the Lord came to humble himself to that. Oh, is there not an example in that? Indeed, there is, and the Scripture tells us as much. And being, verse 8, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And look at this. Look what happens. We don't need to worry about the pursuit of greatness. We just need to be concerned about obeying and what the Lord said, that instruction that he gave us. That's what the Lord did. Because of that, verse 9, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now there's an example. We see the humility, and we see the exaltation. Is he not the greatest? Indeed he is, isn't he? Is he not the greatest? In Colossians chapter 1, you're familiar with this passage, Colossians chapter 1. We pick it up in verse number 17, Colossians 1, 17. The scripture says, and he that is Jesus is before all things. He is there at the head of the line. That's where he's at. He is above all. He's before all things. And by him all things consist. He holds us together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He's over that too. Who is the beginning? The firstborn from the dead. He rose from the dead first, right? To give life. That in all things he might have the preeminence. He's more than number one. He is it. Brother Mark pointed that out. When the Lord comes there in Revelation chapter 19, he's above it all. He's over number one. He's preeminent. It goes on to say here that in all he might have the preeminence. Verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. But you know what? That fullness didn't completely dwell in him from the standpoint of the accomplishing of our redemption and our atonement till he came and did it. And now that he's done it, he's been elevated, can I say, even more by obedience? He's God. And in the mind of God, it was done in eternity. But the Lord has done this. Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, I tell you, brothers and sisters, it's the one who humbled himself the most. Amen? Has there been any other that's humbled themselves as much as Christ? No. Who is it that's greatest in the kingdom of heaven? The one who did and taught the commandments. Right? Right? He did them. Is there one that he failed in? Not one. And does he teach that? Does he not teach us that? That's right. He followed what he preached. Who is the one that is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Well, he's the one that came and served the most, didn't he? He's the one that came and served the most. Turn over here in Luke chapter 22. Our text passage. We'll continue on and hear and see what the Lord continues to tell the apostles, the disciples here. In Luke chapter 22, verse 24 was our text verse. In Luke 22, verse number 24, and there was also strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the Lord did, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors, but ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger. And he, that's talking about that little child, isn't it? The faith and the humility of that little child. And he that is chief, as he that doth serve. For whether is greater, he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat greater? Who's greater, the Lord or the servant? Well, the Lord is. The master of the house is. We've got other scripture that tells us about that. And what the Lord is saying here, but I am among you as he that serveth. He says, you know full well I'm the master. You know I'm Lord. But consider what I'm doing. I'm serving. I came to serve. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptations. They've been obedient in it. They followed the Lord in it. And I appoint unto you a kingdom, as my Father hath appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He gave them a little glimpse. Said, fellas, am I worried about being great in the kingdom? Am I not the master? But have I not come and shown you nothing but an example of service? Here's a little glimpse. You've got a kingdom coming to you, and you've got 12 thrones that you're going to sit on, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Don't worry about attaining greatness. Serve, and I'll take care of you. Amen? Isn't that what the Lord Jesus Christ did? Did He come and serve? It says, wherefore the Father hath highly exalted Him. The Lord Jesus Christ's attitude never was, and we just try to feebly understand the way and the work of the Lord. But He wasn't going and saying, okay, Father, is this enough? Is this enough? Is this enough? Have I done enough? Have I done enough? He wasn't that way. He just came and didn't He? Yeah. He came and obeyed. He came and humbled Himself. There is that sense in the Lord that He humbled Himself like a little child before the Father, trusting Himself into the hands of the Father in all ways. He's God, I know that. But that's the example that He left us, isn't it? He promised him, He promised the Lord here in this passage in Luke 22 that He would exalt if we obey. We need to seek to obey. John chapter 13. John chapter 13. John chapter 13, here before the Lord goes to the cross. We see here in this passage that there's the feast of the Passover, and He is going to depart out of the world, and He knows this. He loves His own. He loves us to the end. The supper is ended. Judas Iscariot is there. The supper being ended, verse 2, the devil having put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray Him. Jesus knowing, verse number 3, Jesus knowing that the Father had given all things to His hands, and that He was come from God and He went to God, His course is sure. He rises from the supper and laid aside His garments, took a towel and girded Himself. And after that, He poured water in a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith He was girded. Then cometh He to Simon, and Peter said unto Him, Lord, dost Thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For He knew who should betray Him, therefore He said, Ye are not all clean. Even Judas is there. The Lord washed Judas's feet, it seems. So after that He had washed their feet, and had taken His garments, and was set down again, He said unto them, Know ye what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and ye say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. The King of Glory would stoop down to wash His disciples' feet. And He said it was necessary that it be done. And this is not teaching about an ordinance of foot washing. I tell you what, brothers and sisters, we ought to be willing to do so. The Lord was. And He says, call me Master and Lord, and that's the truth. But look at how I've come to serve. To serve. Humility. Humility. Submission. Indeed. In Hebrews chapter 5. In Hebrews chapter 5. How can one be great in the kingdom? Be like Jesus. Pursue life with the example of the Lord Jesus Christ in mind. In Hebrews chapter 5, in verse number 1, For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, okay, speaking about the priesthood, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. That's his job. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself is also compassed with infirmity. The Lord Jesus Christ, the greatest example of that. And by reason hereof, as he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer for sins. Of course, the Lord didn't do that for himself, did he? He did it for us. And no man taketh this honor unto himself. You see that? No man taketh this honor to himself of being called to be a priest of God, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. See, the Lord Jesus Christ was called of the Father to serve as our great high priest. In a sense that is there, what the apostle seems to be conveying to us is Jesus has a desire for his people and the people of God. But understanding in the way that the Lord works and the way it is amongst men, Jesus didn't seek to have the position for the sake of having preeminence and honor. He came to serve and obey, and the Father has called him to such. You see that? Aaron was called. Aaron was called to be the priest. That's the way it was. That's the example that we're given. No man taketh this honor to himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ, verse 5, glorified not himself to be made an high priest. See, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. The Father said that he would do so. And he said, okay, that's what you want me to do. That's what I'll do. That's what I'll do. Verse 6, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears, unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared, though he were a son, the only begotten son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, verse 9, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him, called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord Jesus Christ, from this explanation here, it's part of that exalting that the Lord did. He didn't seek to do it, but the Father called him to do it, and he's done it well. Humility, submission, and obedience in every way. How can we be great in the kingdom? Well, to be like Jesus and to follow his example. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. The Lord was willing to endure this very thing. He humbled himself to this very thing. Verse 21 of 2 Corinthians 5, For he hath made him, the Father hath made the Son, to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus had no sin of his own, but yet he took ours. Jesus had never, although it because of his righteousness and his holiness, it did not corrupt him, but he did have to bear it. He bore no sin before, but he did bear it for us. He was not guilty of it, innocent, but yet he went ahead and became guilty for our sakes. Who has humbled themselves more than the Lord? Who has obeyed more than the Lord? Who has sought the service and help and blessing of others more than the Lord? No one. No one. No one has. Therefore, he is indeed the greatest in the kingdom. How can we be great in the kingdom? How to be great in the kingdom? Follow the example of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Serve like the Lord Jesus Christ. Obey like the Lord Jesus Christ. And seek to be like Christ, that the fruit of the Spirit would be manifested in our lives, that the Lord would have preeminence in our hearts and lives, that we would serve Him with every whit of our being, that we would humble ourselves before our God. Not say, my way, Lord, but rather your way in me. That's how to be great. You know what? The Lord will take care of whatever greatness He wants to give us. We need to serve and obey. You that are here and not saved, to you that are not saved, are you ready for the kingdom of the Lord to be established? Will you be great in the kingdom of the Lord? Not without Jesus Christ as your Savior. Listen to this. Will you be least in the kingdom of the Lord? Not without the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear that? It says in Matthew chapter 13, verse 41, we've read this passage, "The Son of Man shall send forth His angels, and they shall gather out of His kingdom, all things that offend, and them which do iniquity." In verse 49, "So that shall it be at the end of the world, the angels shall come forth and sever the wicked from among the just, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Yeah, that lake of fire, it's subject to the Lord, and there is a sense that it is in His kingdom because it's in His dominion and His control. He's created it. But in that place of the lake of fire, it is devoid of any blessing, benefit, presence of God, or anything of the kingdom. It's counted as not being in the kingdom because He says He'll gather it out of His kingdom. Will you be great in the kingdom of God? Not without Jesus Christ. Will you be least in the kingdom of God? Not without Jesus Christ. Because to the lake of fire, you ultimately will go. Repent of your sins and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We that are saved, to be great in the kingdom of God, let us follow Christ. Amen. Let us follow His example. And may the Lord help us in that. May the Lord work and move in us to do so.